Chapter 4. Our chapter title is Two Trees. In our Bibles, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Among the many things created by God, there were two trees planted in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Had Adam eaten of the tree of life, he would have lived forever. We have no way of knowing what the tree of life was. God has not told us, but we do know what it symbolized. It symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life, from whom we have eternal life. Christ is to all who believe a tree of life planted in the midst of the paradise of God. To trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to live by faith upon the merits of His blood atonement and His perfect righteousness, is to eat of the tree of life. The fruit of this tree, the result of Christ's obedience to God as the sinner's substitute, is eternal life. All who eat of the fruit of this tree will live forever. However, the Lord also placed another tree in the midst of the garden. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The moment that Adam ate of the fruit of that tree, he died. He died spiritually, was condemned to die eternally, and began to die physically. These things are recorded in the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit for our learning and edification. There are several important spiritual lessons to be learned by comparing the tree of knowledge of good and evil to the cursed tree upon which the Son of God was crucified. Let us consider some points of contrast. There are six obvious points of contrast between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is as much to be learned from the disparity between the type and its fulfillment as there is from a comparison of the type and the antitype. First, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was planted by God, but the tree upon which Christ was crucified was made and set in its place by man. It is true, Christ was delivered to death by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God Almighty fixed the time of His death, the means of His death, the place of His death, the object of His death, and the results of His death. But human hands devised and erected the cruel tree on Golgotha's hill, stretched out the Lord of glory upon it, and crucified Him. It is written, "And they crucified Him." The death of Christ was by the will, decree, purpose, and hand of God the Father, but the guilt of it lies entirely upon us. It was by the will, the hands, and the work of men that the incarnate God was nailed to the cursed tree. Second, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes, but everything connected with the tree of the crucifixion was hideous, repugnant, and ignominious. Though it would be idolatrous to do so were it possible for an artist to capture the scene of our Lord's crucifixion on canvas, no one would want the picture hanging in his home. The scene was horrible. Our suffering Savior looked more like a violently slaughtered beast than a man. Drunks and priests, thieves and scribes, harlots and Pharisees, Roman soldiers and Jewish rabbis all joined in a hellish party, taunting, jeering, and laughing as they slaughtered the incarnate God. For 3 hours, darkness covered the face of the earth. When he was made sin for us, the Son of God was forsaken by his Father, quivering in pain, burning with fever, covered with blood, and with the reproach of being made sin for us, breaking his heart. The Son of God died upon the cursed tree, having been made a curse for us. Thus, he redeemed his elect from the curse of the law. Third, God forbade man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but every man is freely invited and even commanded to eat of the fruit of that tree upon which the Savior died. Do not mistake my meaning. There's no value or merit in that wooden cross upon which Christ died. We do not value the cross, the physical cross, at all. But there is infinite merit in the sacrifice of the one who died upon the cross. The fruits of our Savior's death are priceless. God himself calls sinners to eat of the fruit of this tree. He tells us, "All things are ready. Come, O taste and see that the Lord is good." The leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations, the healing of God's elect scattered throughout all the nations of the world. In the cross, in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, is all that is needed for the healing of our souls from the consequences of sin. It is there that we find atonement made, justice satisfied, righteousness brought in, forgiveness obtained, and eternal life secured for chosen sinners. Fourth, Satan used every cunning device to get man to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he uses every cunning device imaginable to keep sinners from eating the fruits of Christ's death upon the tree of crucifixion. The liar from hell deceives sinners who are all willing to be deceived by flattering their sinful nature. All over the world, he persuades men and women that they do not need a substitute, that they are really good enough to win God's approval, that he would not really send them to hell. With cunning craftiness, he makes men and women think they are smart, too smart to believe God, so smart that they imagine all religion to be superstition and hypocrisy. Fifth, the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil brought death to Adam and Eve. But life comes to all who eat the flesh and drink the blood of him who died upon the cursed tree. Christ's flesh, his obedience to God in the body of human flesh, is righteousness. His blood, the pouring out of his life's blood to death, is atonement. To eat his flesh and drink his blood is to receive him by faith, thus receiving his righteousness and his atonement. Sixth, by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as a thief, Adam was cast out of paradise. But by eating the fruit of the tree of crucifixion, the penitent thief entered paradise. The only time it is recorded in scriptures that our Savior used the word paradise during his earthly ministry is in his promise to the penitent thief. It was not accidental. Like the penitent thief, all believers are reconciled to God and will be brought into eternal paradise by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. As he confessed his sin and just condemnation, so do we. As he acknowledged Christ as his Lord, so do we. As he trusted the mercy and grace of Christ the Lord, so do we. As he obtained the favor of the Lord by faith in him, so do we. As he is with Christ in paradise, so we soon shall be. We have seen the points of contrast between the tree in the garden and the cross of Christ. Now, secondly, let us look at some of the marks of similarity between these two trees. First, Both trees were planted in a garden. The first Adam died in a garden, and so did the last Adam. Second, both trees were planted in the midst of the garden. Our Lord Jesus Christ died as our substitute in the midst of the world and in the midst of two thieves, separating one thief from the other. The blood of Christ alone is that which distinguishes God's elect from the reprobate. Our Lord Jesus was also crucified in the midst of time. His death was the crisis of the world. When the fullness of the Jews had come, and as the fullness of the Gentiles began, the Son of God died at Calvary to ransom the Israel of God. It is this day, and it will forever be, the cross of Christ, which is the tree of life planted in the midst of the heavenly paradise. That is the center and glory of all things. Third, both trees were trees of the knowledge of good and evil. This is only one place in all the world where sinners such as we are can learn the knowledge of good and evil. These things are learned by divine revelation at the cross. There, as we look to Christ in faith, we see the goodness of God and the holiness of God, the love of God and the wrath of God, the grace of God and the justice of God, the mercy of God and the truth of God. It is only as we look to Christ in faith, trusting Him as our crucified Savior, that we begin to see the evil of sin, the wickedness of man, and the utter depravity of our own hearts. It is looking on Him whom we have pierced that melts our hearts to repentance. It is only in the light of Christ crucified that we discern good from evil in providence. For God's elect, all things are good. For the unbeliever, all things are evil. Fourth, both trees were good for food. The cross of Christ, by which I mean the doctrine of the cross, the gospel, is the very meat and marrow of the believer's life. It is good as food for our souls. How pleasant it is to the eyes of faith. In the crucified Christ, in the doctrine of the cross, we see our sins blotted out. We see how it is that God is indeed both perfectly just and the justifier of every believer. Truly, this is a tree to be desired to make one wise. The preaching of the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. It makes the believing sinner wise in the matter of salvation. The cross of Christ was to our dear Savior a cursed tree, but to us it is a tree of blessing, a curse removed. As Abraham's guest was urged to take water and refreshment and find rest under the tree, so in the gospel, weary sinners are invited by God to take water and refreshment and find rest for their souls under the cross. As Abraham and his guest stood together under the tree, so the triune God and the believing sinners stand together at the cross of Christ. As the tree cast into Meribah's bitter waters made the waters sweet, so the cross of Christ cast into our bitter lives makes them sweet. With the inspired apostle, every believer ought to make this firm resolve: God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.